He follows me.
Yes.
How about that?
Wow.
we talk 80s wrestling a lot.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
We're talking basketball right now.
Okay.
Good morning, Tom. How you doing?
we'll kick the 80s wrestling talk can down the road, Coach. We'll get it in at some point.
I just think there's a great opportunity there, John. I think there's a great opportunity to fit a segment in there somewhere. But anywho, good morning, man.
Yeah, we can do it every morning at 11.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see what you did there. It'll sound a lot like the Jim Rome show.
Yeah.
Coach, you know, I was talking, did the feature on Belmont yesterday, in the midst of another great season for them. What, 11-game winning streak, 20 straight OVC conference wins, and, you know, they're starting to get in that others receiving votes category in both polls. And I asked, you know, Casey yesterday about, you know, is it a motivating factor to get that little number next to your name? And, you know, he did the typical coach's answer. He even said, he said, come on, John, I'm a coach. Of course I'm going to say that doesn't matter. We'll worry about playing our best ball. But given the fact that, you know, they were so hot going into the NCAA tournament last year, and the fact that they're maybe inching closer towards maybe getting a national ranking, I mean, that's got to be a motivating factor, you know, behind the scenes, no?
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you from a coach's seat, there's nothing quite like seeing your name in a national publication, be it USA Today, ESPN. There's nothing quite like that RV beside your name when you get your game notes as a coach. Now, you obviously can't say this to media,
sure,
and to shows like yourself, but as a coach, that is such validation of everything you've done in practice. The kids that you've recruited to your roster, it just gives you a sense of pride that you're starting to be mentioned among the elite of the elites. Belmont certainly is deserving of that. Nick Buzinski's playing tremendous for them. Luke Smith has played tremendous for them.
He's been fantastic, right, Coach?
Just outstanding. I mean, he's a Swiss Army knife of a player for them. And Buzinski inside, you know, he's getting 16 a game. Playing really, really well. Grayson Murphy, you know, is getting 8 boards a game for them. They've got a really nice basketball team. It's a shame, given our current climate and current circumstances, they're not exposed more. But I have a feeling Belmont's gonna be poised for a really strong run as we get closer to March.
Yeah, they host Eastern Illinois tonight.
I was actually going to say that, as a matter of fact. Okay. And then SIUE on Saturday. As a matter of fact, SIUE is playing at TSU tonight, the men, at 8 o'clock. I'll have the game on TSUTigers.com. They haven't played since December 18th. That's
it's a world we live in, right,
they've
Coach?
They've only played one conference game.
Yeah,
right?
they're 1-0 in the conference, undefeated.
Yeah. But just one more question about Belmont, Coach. Like I said, last year they were so red hot going into the tournament. Of course, the tournament got canceled because of COVID. I had them going to the Sweet 16. I thought they were going to win at least 2 games. If they stay healthy and all things, you know, stay equal, how far can they go this year, you think, if they get in?
Hard to say. I definitely think if they get the right matchup, John, they are a tough out no matter what. You know, Greg and I talked to Coach Bird last week on the shoot-around, and he was talking about some of the things Coach Alexander is doing with their 4-out-1-in, making things really difficult to guard and defend. So if they get the right matchup, I definitely see them potentially being a second weekend Sweet 16 type of team. When it gets to the NCAA tournament, it's all about your matchup.
Sure.
They play very, very similar to a team we've talked about here multiple times, is Iowa. They remind me a lot of Iowa, a premier player in the paint, 4 players around them that can really fill it up, provide spacing issues. But I think Belmont's going to be a team to be reckoned with. No matter the matchup, they're going to be a tough out for somebody.
Talking Hoops, Coach Tom Hodges. You can follow him on Twitter right there. I'm not surprised that Tennessee would go to Florida and lose. I'm a little bit surprised they would go to Florida and score 49 points and lose by 26 points.
Yeah, 18 turnovers. Yeah. They shot horrible from the free throw line, horrible from the field. And, you know, we were talking about it. It just looked like Florida wanted it more that night.
Well, but is that, but in my mind, an aberration?
Yeah, I agree with you. What say you, Coach?
Well, I think it surprised Coach Barnes to hear his comments after the game. The one thing we've been able to count on with this Tennessee team is their effort and their energy. And from the tip the other night, it just seemed like they had an uphill battle to get their effort and their energy right, and never regained it. I mean, with 9:45 to go, they cut it to 11, and it looked like, okay, reality might set in and they might gain a little form here. Florida goes on a 13-0 run, and Tennessee didn't really provide a lot of resistance in that 13-0 run to close the game. Obviously, Coach Barnes has called for changes. He said in his postgame, I guarantee you there'll be changes. I guarantee we're going to put a team on the floor that plays hard. And, you know, they've had a lot of success. They've had a lot of press, ranked as high as 6 in the country. So at the end of the day, you're dealing with 18 to 21-year-olds that are reading those same things. Hard not to get caught up in that sometimes. Thought this team might have been a little bit immune to that. Clearly they're not. But I'll tell you what, guys, from this point when we talked last week, I'm going to have to make a retraction and go all in on Alabama.
I knew that.
Roll Tide.
On Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What they did to Alabama. LSU, 105-75 Tuesday night.
Doesn't suck to be an Alabama fan these days, huh?
Man, it's a sweet spot right now. It is a sweet spot right now. Alabama, I was looking at their stats this morning, guys. They are just an enigma of what they do and how they do it. So I'm going to give you, you know, I've always got to give you a little nugget, little tidbit, right? So the bulk of Alabama shots, and you don't have to look at the stat sheet to see this, are threes. They're just going to shoot it, and they shoot it so freely. So almost 42.9% of their offense is catch-and-shoot basketball. Of that percentage, 95% of those catch-and-shoot shots are threes. 95%.
Wow.
Of that 95%, 54% are guarded. They shoot 54% guarded threes. It's really amazing the success that they're having and the points they're putting up. They lay 24 threes on LSU, who's long and lanky, athletic. But you could see, I mean, Alabama makes you extend well past the three-point line. And then once you do, and this is what they did to Tennessee, once you do, they just drive right by you. It's nothing fancy, but it's really simple, and it's really a mindset. And they are in a frame of mind right now. I don't know of any team in the country that would want to play Alabama just knowing what you have to guard against and what you have to prepare for.
Well, Coach, can a team live like that? You know, does that have staying power? Because sooner or later you're going to have an off shooting night, right?
Well, yeah, live by the jump shot, die by the jump shot, right?
I mean, that's really the crazy thing, guys, and I've said it before. You know, you look at their stats and it doesn't jump off the page, but they play so free, and when you watch them, they catch it and there's no hesitation. It's almost as if they just want you to guard them to where you overextend defensively,
right,
and all of a sudden the lane is wide open. John Petty Jr., you know, is shooting 42% from the three. I looked it up this morning. They have 10 players that have taken double-digit threes this year. 10. 10 players on their roster have taken double-digit threes. Pretty amazing what they're doing. The question is, when the shots don't go, are they good enough to overcome a bad shooting night? I think they might be able to, just because your natural instincts are to get out there and guard them. And sure, that's what Tennessee did. Tennessee really overextended defensively, which not only opens up driving lanes. One of the things Alabama does great, and Herb Jones is tremendous at this, is offensive rebounding. They crash the board and just fly in there, and they're flying in from 25 feet from the basket. And that's just unnatural for a lot of teams, usually looking for cylinder rebounds close to the goal. So Alabama with a real unique style, no matter what, they're fun to watch, and they've got a lot more eyeballs on them right now than maybe any time in the last decade.
Coach Tom Hodges with us every Thursday morning talking basketball tonight. Well, every year from 1995 to 2007, UConn and the Lady Vols play, of course, the great rivalry with Gino Auriemma and Pat Summitt. That ended in 07. It's been revived. The Women's Basketball Hall of Fame Revival Series started last year tonight at 6 o'clock our time, ESPN. And the cool thing out in front of it, Kelly Harper and Gino each donated personally $10,000 to the Pat Summitt Foundation and the Basketball Hall of Fame. So in that setting, but it's good that these two teams are playing each other.
It's
good for women's basketball.
The women's game needs it.
Or it's good for basketball, period.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt. And, you know, that series really put women's basketball in prime time. When you go back to 95 and they started playing, you know, women's basketball, you might have a game every blue moon on national TV. But that series captured a lot of fans. There's just such great intensity. Obviously, at that point in 95, the young upstart from the Northeast versus the seasoned class act of the whole sport, really oil and water to interact with both of those people, both of those Hall of Fame legends, just on different bases. They were never going to be able to get along or coexist, and that's what made it so compelling, being Pat and Gino. So very unique. It's a shame, you know, Pat's not with us anymore. I heard your interview with Coach Insel yesterday, and I echo his thoughts. I'm very proud. I'm glad Gino has been so complimentary of Pat leading up to this. Obviously, the rivalry's not what it was when she was involved in it. Tennessee, as a program, has regressed, where UConn has really taken off and used that gap of where Tennessee once was to catapult themselves into another stratosphere in women's basketball. But it's good. It's a good game to play. I hope they keep playing, because no matter what, to the casual fan, it's going to draw some eyeballs that might not ever watch a women's basketball game.
How about the job that Kelly's done at UT so far? They're back nationally ranked. Seems like, you know, the process is slowly but surely working.
Yeah, Kelly, you know, Kelly's got – it's just such an interest. Pat casts such a large shadow, rightfully so, that Holly Warlick faced what all people who follow legends face. Mm. No matter – I mean, she could have gone undefeated and won a national championship, and what's the big deal? We've already done that.
Right.
You know, it's very difficult, and Kelly's still in the midst of that, having come from that tree. So the thing with Tennessee, since Pat has not been on the sideline there, has been consistency. They've got talent. They've got All-Americans scattered through their roster. They've got length. I think they're the longest team in women's college basketball. Every player on their team is over 6 feet tall. But they just haven't gotten that consistency. You know, they're up by 17 against Georgia at home in the third quarter and just absolutely folded up in the fourth quarter. Then they turn right back around and beat Alabama by 30 on the road, and Alabama had really owned them in the last couple of years if you look back. So Kelly, I know, is working on that consistency, trying to get that program back to the top five where they're so used to being. But certainly the defensive energy and the consistent effort are really the next big piece for Coach Harper and Tennessee Lady Vols.
Flip it to the NBA real quickly. A news coming out. Thanks, Charlie. The Memphis Grizzlies' next three games postponed. Of course, last night was they didn't have the minimum of eight players, and that's tomorrow at Portland and then Sunday, Monday against Sacramento. So four games in a row for the Grizzlies postponed. And, of course, you know, we can go down that rabbit hole all day long on what's going to happen there. Last night, Kyrie Irving shows up. He was rested. He played 48 minutes. Hadn't been doing anything except partying with his family. 37 points, Durant 38 and 12, Harden 21, 12 assists, and they lose.
Because they can't play D.
Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, defense and rebounding. So this is going to be so interesting. And you're playing – going into last night, Cleveland was the worst team in the NBA at offensive efficiency, and you lose. You give up 147 in double overtime. Offense, I don't know that offense is ever going to be a question with this team. When I watched the game last night, guys, they shared the basketball. Nobody really dominated the ball. Offensively, I really like what Steve Nash is doing with them. A lot of cutting, a lot of spacing. But defense and rebounding are going to be the hole for this team. DeAndre Jordan, is as good as he is, can't make up for everybody and guard the rim and guard all four players around the perimeter. So, offensively, they're going to be electric. They're going to be must-see TV. Defensively, I just hope they have the ball at the end of the game with the last possession, because I don't know how many teams they're going to be able to lock down and keep from scoring, especially in this condensed 72-game season. I mean, Durant plays 50 minutes last night for the first time in 2 years. Irving plays 48 minutes. Harden played over 50 minutes. So, we mentioned it last week, they've got a short bench already because of the Harden trade. They haven't replaced that depth. They don't have a lot of practice time. That's where you get sharp defensively, is working on your rotations and your coverages, just because of the condensed season and the condensed schedule. So practice time is very limited. But offensively, they are certainly elite.
Every Thursday morning, 10:25, and then the shoot around every Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, presented by Goggin Cold Hall. And I'm going to put this out there, our legend of the week. I need to confirm it today. I believe it's going to be the second greatest player in Austin Peay basketball history. Number one was Fly Williams. Number two, Tom, you want to guess?
Bubba Wells,
exactly. He is an assistant with SIUE, and they're in town playing TSU tonight, Belmont on Saturday, and we're going to trying to work out for 9:30 Saturday morning game day where they are with everything they're into that morning, and hopefully we'll get Bubba on the show. So.
That guy could score in his sleep.
Just like you, Coach.
Yeah.
hey, we when I was at Tennessee Tech, I used to joke with Jeff Lebo, Bubba Wells just rolled out of bed and he got 22. So good luck with that tonight.
Yeah, but at least he's not playing, right? So anyway, all right.
Yeah,
hey, thanks, Tom. Appreciate you, man.
See you, Tom.
Thank you, man.
All right.